Autism has been fortunately focused on with an increasing amount of attention and awareness. In spite of that, tragedies like the wandering off and eventual death of Avante Oquendo reminds us that much more needs to be done. This is especially true in New Jersey, where the autism rate is double the national average. In the aftermath of Avante's death, a new idea of tracking autistic children has been presented and quickly followed up, by the way, by the U.S. Justice Department's willingness to fund voluntary programs about this. Here to discuss why this is an important idea is the Chief Clinical Officer for Pacific Child and Family Associates, Dr. Michael Cameron. Good morning, Doctor.
Good morning, Chris.
PacificChildandFamily.com is the good doctor's website. Learn more about the work that he does, and he supplies some very good information there as well. When we look at the Avante Oquendo story, Doctor, about an autistic child wandering off, is that a common trait among autistic children?
It is a common trait, Chris. And in fact, one of the leading causes of death for children with autism spectrum disorder is drowning. So this is a concern that that is shared among the families of children with autism spectrum disorder. And just to give you some sense of the prevalence, just looking at 2010 alone, there were 94,000 cases of endangered or disabled missing persons recorded. Many of those individuals are with it, you know, having a diagnosis of autism spectrum disorder, and it's of great concern to families.
Seemed like Avante's parents at least had an idea of what Avante was all about, because remember the early reports, his mother was saying he had a fascination with trains and subways, so that at least led police and officials to target their search in what was obviously a big turf to search.
Correct, and that's one of the things that will occur. One of the things that is important to note is that many individuals with autism spectrum disorder do not have language skills, verbal skills, and nor do they have street safety skills. So just since 2011, there's been 42 deaths among children with autism spectrum disorder, exactly for this reason, because they have a fascination with different environments. It could be trains, it could be subways, it could be construction sites, or it could be ponds or rivers for swimming. So when they leave, when they leave the home, or in Avante's case, leaving the school, they're going to gravitate toward sites that are highly dangerous. And then couple that with their lack of street safety skills or community skills, and the poverty of language that they may have just puts them at enormous risk. And in Avante's case, unfortunately, fatal.
Calling this affliction autism is actually just a thumbprint, as you correctly call it, autism spectrum disorder, is more accurate, because there is no, you know, much like when you say I have a cold, okay, you pretty much know a scratchy throat, runny nose, watery eyes, and everyone is pretty much going to have that same realm of illness. But when you have autism spectrum disorder, it can range to so many degrees. You mentioned how a majority of the children don't have communication skills. I've been told by others that if you're walking through a store, for example, and a child is just having a hellacious tantrum, screaming and thrashing about, and you know, the common layperson would look and say, can't those parents discipline their child? A lot of times that child is doing what they're doing because they are part of somewhere on that autism spectrum.
Yeah, you're correctly characterizing that, Chris. It is a spectrum. Which means that there's a great variation from one individual to another. You do have folks that have quite good verbal skills, and cognitively they may be at the same level as a peer, anybody else their age, and may be fully integrated into a school and general education classes. You know, slide down on that spectrum, and you have individuals without language skills, without good social skills, and with a display, as you're pointing out, of problem behavior or aberrant behavior that really, you know, brings attention from the community. So it is a spectrum, and you're right to point out as well that what that individual is doing with respect to a behavioral presentation is, in a way, a form of communication. And when you have a person that doesn't have appropriate verbal abilities, then they will resort to other ways of communicating their needs. And in many cases, that means aberrant behavior.
Dr. Michael Cameron, Chief Clinical Officer for Pacific Child and Family Associates, pacificchildandfamily.com on the web, and you're listening to Issues and Ideas. Let's take a examine the law that's been proposed by Senator Charles Schumer from New York. And again, I mentioned the U.S. Justice Department has quickly offered up funding for the voluntary program. It's called the Protect and Locate device. It's a tracking device, which I there's probably a more gentle way to say this, but probably for here in New Jersey, one of the most common comparisons would be anyone who violates Megan's Law is a child offender. They have electronic devices that can tell law enforcement where that person is and making sure they do not get near a school zone or not even leave their house. So tracking works. We know that. And how important is it to make sure that a system that is working is going to be made available for the autistic community, the families and the children?
It's critically important, Chris. And the same thing has been done with individuals with Alzheimer's disease, for example. You know, the tracking systems have been used, and the Department of Justice has approved the funding of this. So it's a global positioning system, GPS system, you know, based on, you know, a satellite system, 24 satellites more specifically. So it is essential that something like this is used for an individual that does have a history of leaving without notice. And just by way of detail, you know, what we're talking about is what's referred to as a LoJack safety net service. And when such a service is used, like the LoJack safety net service, it reduces the find time of that individual by 95%, which means that a person is rapidly detected, rapidly found, and hopefully prevented from sustaining any kind of injury. So it's quite important.
As we see this program, I think, quickly come into implementation, which will obviously be a good thing. How important is it for the parents of a child on the autism spectrum disorder to not to say, okay, the PAL's in, everything's cool, I don't need to do anything else?
Yeah, that would be a mistake. The other things that need to be done, because keep in mind, the GPS system is going to find the person after the fact. So a lot of effort needs to go into the prevention of that child or adolescent or adult actually leaving the home or leaving a school situation. So there's got to be a real focus on teaching appropriate communication skills so the person can appropriately ask for the opportunity to go outside. And then there's other low-tech solutions that can be put in place. For example, pressure-sensitive mats placed in front of a door that will sound an alarm in the event that an individual steps on it, or even door devices, door alarms, so that when the doors are opened, it'll provide some alert to a family member, for example. There are also what's referred to as child locator devices, and this is technology that allows the parent or caregiver to detect whether their child or adolescent son or daughter is out of their proximity. So it gives an early alert that the person is 20 feet away, for example. So a lot of preventive measures need to be put in place. The tracking system, the GPS system, is great for after the fact, but equal emphasis has to be put on the prevention of this. And that emphasis has to be placed on communication skills, teaching good communication, giving good opportunity to do the things the individual is interested in, and also having low-tech solutions in the house, such as door alarms or pressure-sensitive mats, so that there's rapid detection before the child even gets out the door.
And certainly among the general population outside of the home, if you see a youth or a child who obviously looks either distressed or out of place or challenged in some way and is not and is without supervision, I mean, don't approach the child because you might make the situation a little more stressful for the child. But if you're in a store, for example, to walk up to someone in management or some sort of official position to say, you might want to just follow that young man around just to make sure that he's with somebody or, you know, just make someone aware that there's a concern there.
Yeah, and Chris, you're bringing up a couple of really good points. The first one is that if a child has a history of wandering, and this is often the case, you know, somebody like Avanti, this wouldn't be the first time, I imagine. Whenever there's an established history of doing this, for a parent, it is in their best interest to contact their local authority and in a proactive way, you know, share pictures of their child with the local authority, identifying information, critical contact numbers, because keep in mind, if this individual wanders, they may not have the capacity to even tell another individual what their name is. And not only doing that with local authorities, but also doing that with neighbors, for example, because they will be the first ones to notice. So just having critical contact numbers shared and having a search plan in place and a good communication plan in place is something that the family really needs as well. Just exactly how will they respond in the event that they detect their child missing? Because as you and I know, you know, we're hardly in the best thinking mode when we're highly emotional. Well, and when our child leaves the house unattended and is at risk for injury, we are highly emotional. And that's hardly the time to begin thinking about what the plan is going to be for searching. So being proactive, sharing information with local authorities, sharing information with neighbors, and even giving them some guidelines, and you pointed this out, Chris, giving them some guidelines in terms of how to approach the child, especially for law enforcement. You know, they can mistake the child as being non-cooperative or even argumentative, where really the child may have autism spectrum disorder and it may be part of their disability, and you don't want that being misinterpreted by individuals. So guidelines for search, guidelines for local authorities in terms of how to interact with the child is very useful.
There is a large difference and a great deal of difference in the results when you are proactive versus reactive, and I really hope that Avanti's Law will add to the focus of the proactive. Learn more about autism awareness and the spectrum, and really just the more information you have, especially if you have a child with autism, the better prepared and strengthened you will be the proactive side of the equation. Visit the good doctor's website, PacificChildAndFamily.com. He is the chief clinical officer for Pacific Child and Family Associates, Dr. Michael Cameron. Thank you so much for your information, for the insight in this very, very important situation.
Thank you very much, Chris. And I believe this is a real feather in the cap for Senator Charles Schumer in terms of lobbying for this. Thank you for the opportunity to discuss it.